15:15 That probably presents the Wrestling Roundtables, the Raw, the Bad, the Ugly, the weekly podcast where we tell you what we like, didn't like, and was just flat out horrendous. Is your favorite tag team partners, me, Stir the Pro.
It's Miller.
Raw took place in Newark, New Jersey. Look, interesting thing about that. I used to watch this show called what is it called? Black Market. And they actually did a thing on Newark, New Jersey about carjackers and stuff.
Well, and, they have like the capital of carjackers or something?
Oh, yeah. Actually, it is because they got their port right by them. Mm. And basically what they do, they steal those cars and they sit, putting them in those, you know, big old canisters, shipping them overseas. People don't know they buy stolen cars because it's not like they... checking VIN numbers.
They can't really check that there. It doesn't work that way.
Right. So, it's a huge market there. And the reason why they have to carjack you and stuff is because of the car companies. Because they're making it harder to actually steal cars. So, what do you need? You need that key.
Right.
Right. So, since they need the key, they got to...
I got to get the car from you because...
I gotta get it from you. It's crazy. It was a good episode too, man.
And I bet you them insurance rates in New York or New Jersey are high then, because they're looking like you're likely to get carjacked, buddy.
Yeah, especially depending on what kind of car you
My have. Insurance from Aurora to Chicago was like $500 difference.
Yeah.
Mind you, I'm 33, so my insurance is low, pretty much, because I don't get in accidents, all that. So
yeah.
Wildness. Had to knock on wood.
Crazy. Also, one of my favorite shows, I think it was filmed between, not necessarily Newark, but New Jersey and New York, and that was The Sopranos. If anybody know about The Sopranos, one of the greatest shows, if not the greatest show ever made, hands down. People know how I feel about Game of Thrones. I love Game of Thrones. But HBO's best show ever made, Sopranos. If you never watched it, go watch it.
I tried, but I wasn't feeling it. It's just, but that's just because that's not, you know, I stick to comedies and...
Yeah, that's not, it's not
true. Yeah, if it's not making me laugh and it's not wrestling, I'm probably not watching it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's not good. It's just not my cup of tea.
Not your cup.
Which we'll talk about people's cup of tea when I get into my news and rumors.
All right. Do you have a match to watch for that's not from World of Worlds?
No. What the f...
Okay. Then we're going to skip that today.
Why?
Because
we're going to That's go, messed up. All right, fine. Let me give you another one. I got another one.
The reason why I'm just saying, though, is because we're going to go over World of Worlds. And I actually have a match to watch for, but then I'm just like, I don't want to talk about it twice.
Okay. Well, my other match to watch for, since I can't pick the one I wanted to from War of the Worlds, was Leo Rush against Joe Gacy in CZW. For those that don't know, Leo Rush won the CZW championship this weekend. And that match, fortunately, I was able to see it because I got friends in high places. And it was a really, really good match. And it actually showed... like the different sides of Leo Rush, man. This dude is, man. If he doesn't get signed by NXT soon, I'll be super surprised because he kind of did a little bit of everything in this match. Brawling because it's CZW, high flying, a little wrestling here and there for the most part. It was just a really entertaining match.
But no, I did tell you though, if he gets signed, he's not going to NXT.
I don't know though.
Straight to the cruiserweights.
Maybe, but then again, I don't necessarily know because they still haven't used Grand Metalik. They haven't used him.
Even know where he's at.
We don't know where he's at. I mean, didn't we see him one time and then all of a sudden we didn't see him more?
Yeah, that's a shame too because he's good.
So weird. I don't get that.
He took that lumbar check.
He did. He took that lumbar check like a month.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he could end up on 205 Live, but I think it'd be better if he was on NXT. Because he can mix it up with the bigger dudes just because he's small.
Oh, yeah, but I think a lot of them can mix it up with the bigger dudes.
It's right, but I just think that he would be better suited. Like, we know he can, like, I feel like NXT is really a developmental. It develops people. And if that's what they're trying to do, then you need to build on his character more because I don't know that the CZW character that he is right now is going to translate over. Anyway. Ready for my news and rumors?
Yes.
All right. So, spoiler alert. Marty Scurll joined the Bullet Club. I won't give away how it all happened, but if you're like, why is he walking around with Bullet Club umbrellas and whatnot? Marty Scurll is officially a member of the Bullet Club, and usually I'm against them adding new members because it's so big already, but this works on a million different levels. I'm going to butcher her name because I can't ever get it right, but Io Shirai is rumored to have signed with WWE, which would make sense with the women's tournament coming up. If so, that's kind of crazy that Hojo and Shirai both signed from Stardom, even though Stardom has some really good women that they're going to be moving up to take those spots. But it sucks to see Stardom lose those people, man.
I think it's official that she accepted it.
Okay.
The offer.
So, I mean, you guys are in for a treat because she's probably, and I know some people are going to be like, what? But to me, where she's at right now versus maybe where Kana was at, Asuka. Mm-hmm. I think Io can grow more. And, you know, she pretty much took over that spot, you know, of the top Joshi performer in Japan once Asuka went over to WWE. So it'll be interesting to see how they use her, because I don't think they can just do what they did with Asuka and do it with her. I don't think that's going to work. You're going to have to have her own identity. And her character's dope. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
27, too, so.
Yeah, she's really young. Yeah. Braun Strowman, at first they said that the surgery would only put him out for 4 to 8 weeks, but it's going to be 6 months because they discovered during the surgery that his elbow is completely shattered. So he's going to be out for 6 months. Mm-hmm. So, which doesn't bother me because what is this? It's May,
you know what?
June, July, August, September, October, November. So he'll be back in November. I would keep him out till January, to be honest. And then have him, return at Royal Rumble. That's what I would do personally, but because I feel like November's kind of throwaway. Unless you're going to do this big build for him in the Royal Rumble. But he should be a surprise entrance.
No. I read this and I can't pull it up right now, but I did read that actually he will be out. His injury is going to be due, I think, maybe around June to July, because they're talking about him actually headlining SummerSlam.
Okay. Well, the last thing I read, it was 6 months, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Randy Orton criticized indie wrestling this weekend.
Fuck that.
I'm not even going to go into the big quote of all the stuff he said, because I feel like people gave it way too much time. Here's the thing. Everybody's going to have their opinion about a style of wrestling. Wrestling is like food. Here's an example. I hate Thai food. Doesn't mean that it's nasty. I just don't like how it tastes, because I don't like sesame and I don't like half of the stuff they use. It's just not my gig. So I stay away from Thai food. So if indie wrestling isn't your gig, you just stay away from it. It's not your thing. But to bash it is a little extra. Especially when you haven't done anything that is remotely innovative in how long? So to criticize a type of wrestling style is ridiculous to me. But at the same time, I don't agree with the people in the internet wrestling community that are going in on Randy Orton either. Because, you know what I'm saying? You have all, how many people voice their opinion about how they don't like Randy Orton, don't like John Cena, don't like this guy? He voices his opinion about something, everybody loses their shit. Why? It's his opinion. Just stop taking it so seriously and letting it affect you. We all know, you know, that there's different genres of wrestling. That's just how it goes.
Yeah, no. I don't think that's the issue at hand. I don't think it's the criticizing of the genre. It's the point where he points out that, oh, because I'm wrestling here and look at that style, they all have to wrestle in this. See, because look, and this is where it becomes like, you need to shut the fuck up, you dumb douchebag. Because literally, let's be honest, you only getting paid the amount of money you're getting paid because WWE feels like that you're valuable, but they really don't have to pay you that much. They can let you go. You won't be missed. See, this is the reality of the whole situation. AJ Styles gets signed. He comes in making more money than Randy Orton.
Wait, coming is he? From,
yes, he is.
You looked it up?
Yeah, I looked it up. But anyway, he's getting paid more than you, coming off that same style, doing the same thing that you're sitting there criticizing. He's the more popular person than you are. When we're talking about these indie wrestlers. Nakamura. Last I seen, he's on the cover of that Backlash pay-per-view. Last I seen, they promote your match, but who gets promoted more? Nakamura. You are probably having one of the weakest runs as a champion right now we've ever seen. I think you just got to step back, shut the fuck up, and just enjoy that you are lucky. Because, guess what? The spokes will still keep turning on this wheel, no matter what. No matter how much we complain, because we complain a lot, obviously, about WWE and stuff. But just be happy that you're in a lucky place. Because the moment they decide that they don't really want your ass no more, and they think not going to give you more championship runs, which they only gave you this because of you got fucked up by Brock Lesnar and stuff. But the moment they decide that, you're not going to be missed. I mean, it's just what it is.
I mean, and I think the part that annoyed me is that so many people got so upset. Like, I saw the tweet when it happened, and I was just like, but you're watching it. Because clearly he was talking about, I mean, if you ask me, he was talking about the Jay White Will Ospreay match. Because people were going nuts at the time. So here's my thing. He tweeted his opinion. Like, why? I just don't, like you said, he doesn't really have a leg to stand on with his argument, because half of the people that you have in the promotion are from there and wrestled that style. That's what got them signed. So you sound stupid.
Not only that, a lot of those wrestlers are making a shitload of money, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, but I mean, I don't expect him to know that. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not going to know that they're making. And let's be honest, he's probably making more than them. But you're backed by a machine. It's just like, you know, there's this line that Jadakiss had on one of his albums where he said there's a dude in Rikers that's better than Jordan. You know what I'm saying? There's a dude out there who doesn't have the opportunity or has a background that won't allow him to be part of WWE. You feel me? So he's on the indies. Like Christopher Daniels. He's done way more for wrestling, in my opinion, than Randy Orton has. And that's just my opinion.
No, but that's the truth.
He's never going to get a shot.
Sometimes, look, dude, I tell you this.
Right, you don't need to go to WWE to make that.
Sometimes you just don't. No, sometimes we just don't have to argue these things.
Yes, I got you.
He has.
So
he has done more than what Randy Orton has done for the wrestling business.
Mm-hmm.
He just has.
And I think also it's another thing where, and maybe Randy's not, you know, watching it going, they're all into these guys and not into me. But I think it's another thing where people, where, you know, maybe he's looking from the outside like, man, people are all on this Will Ospreay. Everybody's loving this Okada Omega, you know, and he's not talking a lot about me. Well, the last match you had that was of significance had, like, freaking videos on the mat, like, you know what I'm saying? It was cool to kind of try something different. I don't fault y'all for that, but I'm just saying, bro, like, to go and it's just crazy. I just don't get that.
That shit was stupid because Bray Wyatt didn't end up.
That's like, you don't ever hear NBA players talk crazy about street ball. You feel me? Like, they don't get on and be like,
oh, there was a time that happened,
but okay, so do they still do that?
Yeah, that's only because street ball kind of died when.
I'm
just saying, like, the whole
the and one thing, right? Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? It's different strokes, different folks. And I think, you know, for him to say every indie match is the same, clearly he's not watching, because we know that there's a difference between watching Ring of Honor and Evolve. There's a difference between watching Pro Wrestling Guerrilla and CZW. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between watching Lucha Underground, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's all different. The big name out there right now in indie is Marty Scurll, and he doesn't wrestle that way.
He don't flip. He don't do all that shit. He gets in there and he grinds. And his move, the chicken wing, is one of the most basic moves, but it's hella effective. But this dude can wrestle his ass off.
But didn't I tell you that's how they should have built Derrick Young, is by using that move.
Oh, but the way Marty, but see, this is in Indies, again.
Yeah, but you got the person who invented the move behind you. I'm just saying.
Okay, but this is WWE. We know they don't do that. So that's what I'm saying. Is Orton a little salty because the Indies are getting a lot of love? I'm not saying they're filling buildings with millions of people and all that.
No, but I think if some of these Indie promotions, I think like ROH, when they do World of Worlds, I think they could actually sell out more than what they actually...
Yeah, but I mean, you know, business-wise, you got to be careful.
Yeah,
I think as time goes, and now that we're seeing, you know,
I think the money behind the production is where they stop themselves from going to bigger venues.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think it's all about timing. It's timing too. You just got this, you know, Tribune deal that's not your favorite, but you know, okay, now we have an avenue. Now they're talking about over the top networks like WWE Network, stuff like that. Well, you got to archive a gang of shit.
Yeah.
So that'd be dope. Okay. Moving on, New Japan announced at the War of the Worlds pay-per-view that they are introducing the IWGP United States title, and it'll be decided. Yeah, it does, and it'll be decided at the G1 special shows this summer. Flip Gordon, a guy I've talked about before, has signed with Ring of Honor. I'm telling y'all, this dude is super dope. He's a former Marine too, but yeah, he's super dope. So it's going to be great to see him. We'll probably get to see him live actually on the 3rd.
Okay.
Also, Simon Gotch, now Simon Grimm, was backstage at ROH, and it's a lot of talk about him possibly being signed because this is like the 3rd show he's been backstage. So I wouldn't be surprised to see an announcement soon. And like this dude, I really wish he would go back to his Ryan Drago persona because that's what got him signed. And he was like Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, with a little more strength, like a little more muscle behind it.
WWE just fucked that up.
They messed him up totally. I don't understand.
I don't even think it's not that they messed him up.
They didn't try.
They just didn't use the vaudevillains like they should have used them.
They didn't try. That's
vaudevillains was dope as shit. Yeah.
And then, last but not least, Matt Sydal officially finished up with Ring of Honor at War of the Worlds, and he's full-time with Impact. Part of that had to do, there's no hard feelings, obviously. Part of that had to do with the fact that he's not able to go back to Japan. And it's hard to kind of book him when they work so closely with New Japan. It's hard to book him in like title situations and whatnot.
I was thinking because that too. Because you can't, because they mentioned him being in the G1 juniors.
Right.
And not juniors, but the G1 juniors. But the
best
juniors,
of the, yeah, best of the super juniors.
Yeah. And it was like, damn, he can never go back.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I won't say never. One day it could happen. But as of right now, it's just not going to happen. And it's hard. It puts a strain on Ring of Honor because they can't put him in title situations where he should be because, you know, he can't go overseas. So then you just eliminate him from being able to excel. So, and that's my news and rumors.
You know what? That's crazy, too, man. You see that dude? I was watching. See that dude sick pack? I said, all that weed you be smoking, dog? I'm like, damn, how you still got a six pack like that? I mean, I'd be fat as shit. I'm just saying. You know, you get
he still works out.
Oh, shit. I'd be too lazy to be doing that. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you my perspective.
Oh, okay.
Look, I'd be too lazy.
I'm trying to incriminate myself.
But anyway.
I'm saying.
All right, quick hits time. Quick hits. All right, let's talk about, well, not talk about, but go through what happened at Raw. Raw General Manager Kurt Angle announced an Extreme Rules Fatal 5-Way match to determine who will challenge Universal Champion Brock Lesnar. Once again, it's one of those things where you just didn't even have a number one contender in place. You got to do this dumb shit. Anyway, so next you got the Raw Tag Team Champion Jeff Hardy defeating Sheamus in a really good match to me. Alicia Fox defeating Sasha Banks clean. Surprised the shit out of me. The Miz defeating Intercontinental Champion Dean Ambrose via disqualification. Dean Ambrose decides that he want to kick The Miz in the gonads. Bayley confronted Raw Women's Champion Alexa Bliss, which Alexa Bliss is getting way better on the mic. Oh, by the way, forgot to do that last week. Alexa, we love you. I'm going to do it again. Alexa, we love you. Next, we got the WWE Cruiserweight Champion Neville and TJP defeating Austin Aries and Gentleman Jack Gallagher. We got Roman Reigns defeating Finn Balor. We got Gold Dust attacking R-Truth. We got Big Cass defeating Titus O'Neil. And then we got Seth Rollins defeating Bray Wyatt via disqualification. And that, my friend, was Raw from Newark, New Jersey.
Newark.
Ding, ding, ding. You're Raw.
My Raw is Finn Balor versus Roman Reigns. I thought it was a really, really good match. Say what you will about Roman, but he does... I get that he doesn't carry matches, but at least he doesn't go out and pull an abomination with other people. And, like, this match, to me, was pay-per-view quality. I wouldn't have given it away for free, but I appreciate that they did. I loved everything about it. I mean, I just the pace, the back and forth. I love that they gave Finn a lot of offense and made him look good, but at the same time, I knew Roman Reigns would get his win back. So, like, for me, it was a dope match. I actually will rewatch this. I probably will once it's on the network. So, that was my Raw.
Yeah, anyway. Next time you bring that bullshit down to this fucking podcast, you better warn me first.
Why? I don't care if you don't agree, bro. I already know. No. You're not being realistic. That was a good-ass match.
You warn me first. Let me be prepared for this bullshit that you're going to bring to me.
How is it bullshit when it was a... So you're trying to tell me that wasn't a really good match?
No. Look, and I'm going to get to that, too.
This guy right here, yes, dude. I'm you got to chill.
Hold on. There's no chilling me right now. Fuck this motherfucker. All right? Fuck this motherfucker. But my Raw was Seth Rollins, Bray Wyatt, Samoa Joe. And the reason why. First off, this match was good from start to finish. I think both Bray and Seth got their stuff in there. For really, it wasn't that long of a match. But they both got their stuff in there. Both looked strong. Then Samoa Joe comes out, unfinished business. Seth Rollins, I'm coming for you. We're not done. I don't fuck with you whatsoever. But then Bray hitting the Sister Abigail on not only Samoa Joe and Seth Rollins. So I just loved everything about it. Bray doesn't look weak whatsoever. I hate that he had to take another loss in the whole process and stuff. But anyway, I think a lot of his losses have come kind of via disqualification too, which kind of sucks. But this is one of those things where I would say WWE got to figure out different ways to make Bray look strong without him taking L's.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that WWE needs to fix. Hands down. I think you could have just had Bray go over on Seth Rollins. It wouldn't have did anything to Seth Rollins. You could have just had him go over. At some point, you're going to have to sit there and say, Bray has to go over on some of these wrestlers. It's just what's got to happen. But anyway, that was my Raw because the storyline is still good. I'm intrigued. I can't wait for another Seth Rollins, Samoa Joe match. Bray Wyatt, now he's officially becoming more of a tweener because he just doesn't give a fuck. You in his way, he's taking you out. So, anyway, you're bad.
My bad was the finish to the Rollins and Wyatt match. I would have liked a decisive winner. I mean, maybe I'm nitpicking because I really did like this whole Raw. I'm not a fan, and maybe it's the ROH in me. I'm not a fan of, like, disqualification finishes when it seems, like, political. And that's what it seemed like. Like, we can't let Bray beat Seth, and we can't really let Seth beat Bray. So let's, like, to me, you might as well have just had, you know, Samoa Joe climb from under the ring and punch him in the face, and then that lets Bray get the Sister Abigail. Like, add something to it.
Yeah.
Rather than just a no contest. Because it's like, you get the dope match, but there's no finish to it, so there's no implications, and it kind of goes back to the whole wins and losses got to start mattering.
Yeah. Well, I would have liked to have done that. Instead of him taking the L, how come you just didn't take it to a no contest? Where they
went crazy
and just...
Well, to me, a disqualification like that is a no contest. Like, that, to me, is a no contest. Because nobody cares about it. Except for in the case of Ambrose and Miz. I thought that was done perfectly because everybody thought that there was going to be a title change and they swerved the shit out of everybody. Mm-hmm. And I loved that.
Yeah.
But that was my bad. It was really short. I know.
You know what? My bad, because I can't just... I got to choose multiple bads, and I'm going to cheat right here. No near falls, as our guys with GTS would do. I'm just going to add these in there. Goldust attacking R-Truth. We don't give a shit. I mean, we just don't care. Why? Why put this... You could have just had them break up. Because what are you going to do? Because I have no faith in you actually doing something with Goldust turning heel and then actually putting them like in the IC title picture or something like that. I don't have faith in you and actually doing something with it. So I don't give a shit. This is just a waste. Now we got to see Goldust and R-Truth probably on our TV for the next month or two. Doesn't make me happy whatsoever. Then Big Cass and Titus O'Neil having a match. Why?
But it was funny though. No, it was comic relief. No.
Right. Fuck no. Let Titus O'Neil be a manager. And plus, if you were going to have him have a match at some point, this should have come late, way later on down. This is the problem with WWE, where we feel like they rewatching shit sometimes. Mm. This should have come a long, long, I'm talking about a year or two down the line, because the focus should be on him being a manager, running this Titus brand in... What's name is at the centerfold of that? Apollo Crews, right now, is at the center of all that. Now, I see what they was trying to do. They was trying to use this as a way to turn Apollo heel. But to be honest with you, Enzo did more of the heel work than Apollo did. Because you sitting there trying to take a picture, a selfie, with his man's on the ground, mm-hmm. Of course he's gonna stand up for him. That's what he's supposed to do.
Well, so here's the thing. I don't think that was meant to be, because if you saw how Big Cass's reaction was, he was like, "Dude, what are you doing?" He's like, "I was just trying to take a selfie." I think it was all in comedy. I don't think that was like a turn from Apollo or him being a bad guy. It was all for jokes.
Watch, you're gonna see this shit, and you're gonna be like, "This motherfucker is right."
I don't think they're gonna use it. I think it was all for fun and games.
Let's guarantee you're going to have Apollo and Enzo in the match next week. You want to bet?
No, I'm not going to bet.
No, it's
I got a wedding to pay for. I'm not betting anything. I got no money. I'm broke.
Something simple. Bet you a 2-liter pop.
I don't even know about that.
Bet you something simple.
Sure, a 2-liter pop, sir.
I like orange
crush. I don't really like betting on WWE because they'll do anything, dude. It's not, there's no sure thing.
Guarantee you, next week, Enzo, Apollo in a match. Guaranteed. It's going to happen. I'm not saying book it, but they about to book it.
Book it.
Anyway, you're ugly.
I don't have an ugly because I really, really enjoyed this rock. I really tried. I tried, I promise. To find something that was like, this is stupid. But I even liked Alicia beating Sasha. I thought that worked because you have to get other people over. I really didn't have a problem with anything. The opening segment was well done. It wasn't long, wasn't too short. Yeah, everybody just was on for me. And I liked the Apollo Crews, Titus O'Neil, Big Cass thing. It was funny to me. He was like, "And you're not going to like how you look. I guarantee." I was like, "Oh, yay, he did it." It was just all, I don't know. Maybe I was just in a jovial mood last night.
Yeah, I think you were. My ugly is the total absence or acknowledgement of Finn Balor actually beating Roman Reigns before. They come out, Finn Balor, and you think that's what he's about to say. When he said, I'm going to tell you like I told Seth Rollins a couple weeks ago. But then he goes into, I never lost the belt, so the line starts behind me. And then the announcers, like, oh, Finn Balor has to step into Roman Reigns' yard. And then Roman Reigns cutting the promo all in that whole thing, too, where he's talking about, oh, I give you this, you have a lot of heart. But this motherfucker beat you. What the fuck is you talking about? He got a lot of heart. No, don't try to sit there and make me forget that this dude has beaten you. He beat you clean, fair and square. No outside interference. No nothing. Just a good old-fashioned wrestling match. And he beat you. And so now, come this week, and I'm telling you, you can go back and watch Raw. They just totally, totally dismissed Finn Balor beating Roman Reigns. Like, it just never happened. So it was just like, why are we doing this? To get Roman Reigns over still? Like, are we still trying to do this? So now we have Roman Reigns beat Finn Balor when he's hurt at that. When Finn Balor beat him when he was healthy. Now he can't beat this motherfucker and he hurt. I'm just saying, that shit just is grinding my fucking gears. I don't care how much you want to say that this match was good. It could have been. Could have been good. Could have been great. Could have been great. But fuck this motherfucker. Because it's these certain things that are going on that is pissing me off. It's that little thing right there. And trust me, I wasn't even looking for it. Mm-hmm. Until after they just totally dismissed it when Finn Balor was doing his promo. And then I seen later on, I said, oh shit, I see where they're going with this now. They just want us to forget like this didn't happen. Everything was about basically, can Finn get in there and beat Roman Reigns? And I wasn't with that shit. That shit was ugly. Let's do something different. You could have mentioned it. Could have mentioned that, oh man, he beat him. We already know you motherfuckers was going to try to get his win back at some point. So, just go ahead and mention that he beat him. And that's the reason why that was my ugly. I have no more say about that.
No more say.
Anyway. All right. So, that's it. Do you want to do... I'm going to ask you real quick. Do you want to do the backlash predictions first? Or do you want to talk about ROH?
We can do the backlash predictions.
All right. So, let's start off with that then. Let me get the lineup real quick. All right. Got it? All right. So, the pre-show, we got Ty Dillinger and Aiden English.
Obviously,
Ty Dillinger.
He gave him no love.
Yeah, you know, so I can't wait. Oh, you know, I meant to ask you, too, when we were talking about Randy Orton. Over under. Randy Orton gets booed in Chicago now. That's a huge indie town.
The reason why I don't think so is because they've played this whole foreign enemy thing with gender. And if he was going against somebody else.
No.
Okay.
I'm not talking about because of that.
No, I know that. I'm just saying. Okay. Let me explain. I know that Chicago is a big indie town,
but
in the end of the day, the indie fans are going to be at NXT. When we get to Backlash, there's going to be more, I almost said nonchalant fans, you know, casual fans than anything. So there'll be boos, but it's not going to be a lot. It's just not.
Yeah.
I don't expect it. If there are, I'll be totally shocked and I'll take a picture of my face for all y'all. All
right. I get it. All right, next we got Naomi, Charlotte, and Becky Lynch uniting to go against the welcoming committee. Who do you have winning this match? Oh, the welcoming committee, just so you know, is Natalya.
Yeah, I know who
Carmella, and for some of those who don't know, Natalya, Carmella, and Tamina.
I'm going to go with the welcoming committee.
Me too. But here's my reason why. I think Becky Lynch is going to turn heel.
She'll turn on.
Yeah. Becky will turn.
Okay.
Which?
Charlotte has a face, though?
Yeah, I know. But you know what? And I almost wonder if they're going to change the name from the Welcoming Committee to the Four Horsewomen. Because that would be, to me, I think that would be dope. Let Becky start the Four Horsewomen.
Ooh.
Instead of Charlotte.
It's just hateful.
It is. It's dope, though. It would be a good storyline.
They're going to have to get some more females, though. You have them four aligned. Well, unless they start letting people fight amongst themselves or within the group. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. See what happens. All right. Next, I think we're going to get the tag team championship. We got Breezango going against the Usos for the SmackDown tag team titles.
Usos.
Me too. I got the Usos too. But for whatever reason, I just don't think they're going to win clean, which I think is going to continue them at least having one more match. Probably, you know, somewhere down the line on SmackDown or at their next pay-per-view.
I think this will be the thing that elevates Breezango to, like, serious contenders.
Yeah.
They'll put on a good showing.
All right. And then we got AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens for the United States Championship. I got Kevin Owens winning this.
Got AJ Styles.
Yeah, AJ Styles. Yeah.
Vince has a thing for AJ now, so.
He does, but I just don't. Kevin Owens just got those shirts.
Mm-hmm.
See, sometimes you got to pay attention to merchandise. And I'll be shocked. I won't be mad, but I'll be shocked if AJ walks out the United States champion. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think it'll be on par for what? Because where we at right now? We're in mid-May. Chris Jericho's tour is almost up.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe in a couple more weeks, you might get Chris Jericho coming back, fighting for that U.S. title. In which I think Kevin Owens will end up winning that feud.
And yeah.
We'd be going somewhere else with it. Anyway, next we got Shinsuke Nakamura versus Dolph Ziggler. I think that's just hands down Shinsuke.
Yeah, we already know.
Yeah. And then we got the Maharaja versus the Viper. Jinder Mahal versus Randy Orton. Who do you have?
Randy Orton.
See, this is one of those things, and I'm not saying this because of this whole indie rant. This is just one of those things where I'm just like, they may have Jinder come out on top of this shit.
That'd be weird, though.
It will. But this is SmackDown. I feel like this is their thing. This is them saying that we can take these type of risks.
Yeah, but it's a good point. Is that the risk you want to take? Make Jinder the top guy? Like, he's the transitional champion? Like, he'd be a transitional champion. I can't see him reigning for months and months. I mean, if he won it, I wouldn't, like, it wouldn't be a riot, but I also...
You'd be so confused. That's all that is.
Yeah, I'd be like,
I mean, he's put on good matches before. I mean, him and Seth Rollins is going at it. At NXT.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like, I think, what are you getting different, really, outside of a better finish? I mean, they both have been very boring with their movesets whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I mean, Randy doesn't even do the, where he attacks the body parts anymore. He doesn't even do that. Have you noticed that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
But now I'm going to notice it every time I watch.
Yeah, you know how, remember how he goes around your whole body and stumps on it and stuff? on different parts. He doesn't do that anymore. Just both their moves. That's it. I think this would have been more believable if you had Jinder going against like a Kevin Owens, mm-hmm. or Jinder going against or AJ Styles or somebody. Their styles doesn't mesh whatsoever, which is probably why this is going to be one boring ass main event.
Now watch it be good, because AJ makes people look good, sir.
Jinder Mahal and Randy Orton?
Oh!
I'm saying,
I thought you were talking about tonight on SmackDown. I apologize.
Oh, no. I'm saying, like, if Jinder was going against, like, in the main event, if he was going against, like, an AJ Styles or Kevin Owens with his moveset, because it's just Jinder's moveset and Randy Orton's moveset right now is boring as shit to try to watch both of them go at it against each other. Because they don't even do chain wrestling.
Right.
If they did some chain wrestling, you'd be like, oh, okay, this is going to be good. But they're not even doing that. So, I'm going to take the gamble. I'm going to go with Jinder Mahal.
Plus, I think Rusev's going to be the one that beats Randy. So,
whew, I love that. You know, Rusev, I've been telling you, I think he needs the title on him.
I think he's giving him a chance.
I think he's good. I think he's good on the mic. Can't wait to see what he offers. As long as they allow him to do what he does best, and that's destroy people. So, anyway, that's our predictions for Backlash. Now, since we're not doing a Let's Talk Wrestling segment, we're going to talk about ROH's World of Worlds. Do you have the lineup up, sir?
No, I
you do not, so I pulled it up.
This guy right here. All right, I see how this is going to go. All right. So we kicked off the show. It was kind of a dark match, per se, but the Kingdom of Matt Taven and Vinny Marsegla with TK O'Ryan defeated the Tempura Boys, Sho and Yo. I saw this match. It was fun.
I was about to say I didn't get to see that.
Yeah, no, it was. I believe it was only on YouTube. But I got it through streaming on ROH because I'm a member. It was a really good match. It was fun. I mean, nothing where you're like, oh my God, you got to see it. But they always make the Tempura Boys look really good. And the Kingdom has been my favorite. I hate that they've been derailed by TK O'Ryan's injury. But hopefully when he gets back, you'll be able to see all the great things he does in the ring. Next up, we had another dark match. The Rebellion. Kenny King, Rhett Titus, and Shane Taylor defeated Cheeseburger, Gato, and Will Ferrer. Typical six-man tag match, but it was really fun. Shane Taylor looked like a straight-up beast in this match, mm-hmm. so that was always dope. Just all around, another fun match to open up the show. All right, so the first bout of the night, Dalton Castle defeated Bobby Fish, Kushida, and Silas Young in a four-way match.
And I'm going to tell you this right now. Kushida is probably one of my favorite wrestlers out right now.
Can I tell you something real quick that you may not know? Did you know he won the TV title this weekend?
No, I did not.
Yes, he won the TV title.
Damn, he took it off Marty Scurll?
Because Adam Cole did the whole blackout thing and then showed up in Marty Scurll's gear.
Damn.
And Marty was like, I'll kill you. And then, yeah. I love how they do that. But anyway, sorry.
Wow.
When you said that, I was like, oh, he's going to be excited about this.
Yeah, like, because she's a dope as shit.
Yeah, he is.
And I was surprised, like, when I sat there and I thought about it, how the fuck did WWE not get him a part of that 205, not 205 Live, but the Cruiserweight Classic?
I can tell you, he wasn't going to do it. He's already said that he's committed to New Japan, just like Okada, mm-hmm. because they treat junior heavyweights like their own class, and if you're a star, you're just as big as a star as Okada.
Mm-hmm.
We may not look at it that way, but that's how they treat him.
Like, he didn't have to actually sign with WWE.
Oh,
I'm just saying, just be a part of the Cruiserweight.
Well, that was
class.
Part of the thing. They were not allowed. I mean, how many New Japan people did you see in that tournament?
Yeah.
This is politics. New Japan was like, no. You can leave. You know, quit. You go wrestle for them. You're not going to wrestle for them and be with us, though. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying. Which, by the way, I wish they would bring back the Cruiserweight. I think the Cruiserweight champion, I think the Cruiserweight Classic should now be whoever wins goes against the Cruiserweight champion.
I think that's what they'll do. If they bring it back, we'll see what happens. Yeah. But how did you feel about this match, sir?
But this match was dope. I think it was the ending that I wasn't really that big of a fan of.
Because Bobby Fish got hit with the Bangarang, Dalton Castle pinned him. It was kind of anticlimactic.
Yeah, it was. But everything else was just, I mean, it was just.
And I think that happens sometimes with a lot of ROH matches. The action throughout it is so insane. And then the finish will happen sometimes. You'll be like, oh, that's how we're going to end it? Like, we were waiting for somebody to go through 37 tables. Like,
that's what it was. It was like, huh, okay. Yeah. I was just like, okay.
I do like Don Castle's move, though. I do.
Yeah, but Kushida, to me, I think he shined throughout this match the most. Bobby Fish, it's a shame that that him or O'Reilly and Red Dragon is.
Well, did you see when he was coming in and he kept saying, oh, yeah, Red Dragon, and he was shouting him out. I'm like, are you teasing him coming back? Like, what are you doing? Like, I'm very confused because he keeps saying this. So I don't know. Like, what if Kyle O'Reilly shows up one day?
But then it'd be weird because you just won ROH Championship, but then you walk away. Well, you're basically walking away from it. And then
maybe the plan really was all along for Adam Cole to win the belt from him in Japan. Maybe that really was the plan because they said that was the plan. That was weird to me if it was. We'll see. It's weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. I can't wait to talk about this match. Hangman Page defeated Frankie Kazarian. This is a feud that's been going on for a little bit, especially with Kazarian turning on the Bullet Club. I'll let you talk about the match first.
First off, the way they did the storyline. Hangman Page, just he had a problem with him, and he was like, no, I'm coming for you. Because I didn't like what you did, turning on us, and now I'm coming for you. That's kind of nuts because you really don't get that from heels.
Right.
And stuff. But now you're getting that from a heel where, like, no.
I think it's just how ROH does things because they do things in a manner where it's like, I want to fight you. Like, it don't matter if I'm a good guy or a bad guy. I want to punch you in the face. And this is what's going to happen.
Yeah. And that, man, that moonsault off the apron.
Oh, yeah. The shooting star he does.
Yeah, that was just nuts.
So dangerous.
I'm like, Hangman Page actually did that. But yeah, this match was good, too. I watched this match and I was just like, man, this is just so good. Storyline is good. The story that they're telling in the ring is good. For Hangman Page, he won dirty, but it didn't matter because he's just saying that this is not over.
And he won smart.
Yeah, and he won smart. And
I will say, both of them are fucking sick with the spitting. That shit was gross.
Shit was nasty.
Y'all some sick motherfuckers.
Yeah. And then he licked it.
And he licked his ass.
I'm like, oh, come on.
And like, then the crowd was like, you sick fuck. You sick. And that was so awesome to me. I was like, this is ridiculous, dude. Yeah. What is wrong with these dudes? Ugh.
Yeah. And was this Was this the match where he spiked him on the apron?
No.
No, oh, okay.
We're getting there.
I was about to say, I couldn't remember which match that was.
I'm
like, why would you do that?
Next up, we had War Machine, a non-title match. War Machine defeating L.I.J., because I'm not going to try to pronounce it, members Evil and Sonata, Search and Destroy members Chris Sabin and John Gresham. For me, when we talk about this match first, I loved everything about this match because everybody got stuff in, and I like how they showed that Jonathan Gresham is a smart guy. He may be smaller than everybody, but he's a smart wrestler. And I just like how everybody got their stuff in, but still War Machine looks super strong.
War Machine, first off, look, I think it was Hanson that was doing the clotheslines.
Holy crap.
First off, dude, look, for somebody that size, to be in that great of ring shape. He was going back and forth, corner to corner, just hitting his clothesline. And I'm talking about running top speed, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I was like, man, this is nuts. This is nuts. But these dudes are dope. That one, what's that motherfucker's name? Evil. Sick fuck. Why would you do that to somebody?
Oh, with the chair? Oh, yeah, that was insane, man. Oh, that was just a crazy spot. And he's done it a couple times in New Japan. I'm trying to remember which matches. But, yeah, that was nuts.
Basically, he put the chair over, I believe it was Hansen, once again.
Yeah, it was over Hansen's head.
He put the chair over Hansen's head and took another chair and, like, swung it like a baseball bat. And, I mean, the chair goes flying off.
Almost hit the ref.
Yeah, I mean, I was just like.
The dives to the outside were crazy.
And Evil was really evil.
Yeah. Like this dude, I mean, he's got his persona down pat.
Yeah.
And I love being able to see Sonata. So here's one thing about Sonata. People don't know, he was supposed to be like the next Muta. Sans the face paint and all that. And in All Japan, he was going to be that new top guy when Keiji Muto, Great Muta, left All Japan and started World One, Sonata was supposed to be that dude. Didn't happen that way. He ended up coming to New Japan and, like, totally reinvented himself with LIJ. And, like, I was happy to see him. I loved when he did the, forget what he calls it and how it translates in English, but when he tied both guys up into, like, a pretzel, and Chris Sabin and John Gresham couldn't move. He really ties you up. Like, he really does a move where you can't really get out. And then kicked them both.
Yeah. It's like a drop kick.
Right. Yeah. But the things that they do establish LIJ as like real badasses without even having to win the match. And so for me, it was just super, super exciting to see everybody get that shine, everybody get that chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That match was just dope. If you haven't checked out ROH World of Worlds yet, y'all need to get on there and check it out. The next match, though, my match would have been my match to watch for, but like I said, I didn't want to give that away already and talk about it twice. But Will Ospreay defeating Jay White. I mean, like Isabella said, this might have been the match where Randy Orton might have been talking about and probably was a little upset because of the love that this match got. But Will Ospreay and Jay White. You know, and I think this is my first time ever seeing Jay White wrestle.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And so to see the chemistry between these two, I mean, it was there. I think this was the match where he got spiked.
Yes.
Yeah.
That brain buster on the apron the was disgusting.
Yeah, and I said, why would you do that?
It's just...
But, yeah, did you see my meme that I
no.
That I sent? It was the little cat with the big googly eyes smiling and shit. I mean, like, it put a smile on my face. Like, wow, I'm actually getting to witness this. And sometimes, people, if you haven't watched indie wrestling, you need to go do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's these certain spots that happen that just doesn't happen in WWE anymore. Is these certain spots that makes you excited
ROH still suspends your belief. Like, why? How many times do we ask each other, like, why would you do that to a human being? Like, this is not right. And then shake hands at the end.
Yeah. And this is one of those things where you sit there and say, see, this is why they don't have to wrestle every single day. This is why WWE needs to adopt this. Because do you need to do a house show all the time?
To pay people what you want? I mean, what you're paying them? Maybe.
I don't know.
How much does that's a good question. How much does a house show translate to actual profit in dollars? I mean, maybe it does. And it also is a chance for wrestlers to get their merchandise sold. But I agree with you. Like, are all of those necessary? Like, when you run Raw... But you also got a SmackDown house show on a Monday? Like, is that necessary? Is that contractual? Why are you doing that?
See, and that's the problem.
Doesn't make sense to me.
Why especially in that case, because you're taking away viewers anyway.
Right.
Too, that would normally watching. You will probably normally be watching your show. And you taking them away to go to a fucking house show. I mean, it's just... Look, I don't know. But anyway, but this match... Dope. Will Ospreay just got moves for days. just, I mean, and he can do it all.
Yeah.
This dude, that, I mean, it's not even just the high flying and stuff.
He can wrestle.
Yeah, it's the actual wrestling.
That German skill. Suplex he hit, I was like, oh, yeah. Man, it was crisp. He nailed it. Jay White is just high energy. He's a strong dude, too.
Yeah. Yeah, because when he just kind of lifted him up and did the, I believe it was a, not German, but, no, it might have been a German suplex.
Yeah, I think it was like a released German.
Yeah, it was released German. Like,
I don't think we could call all the spots and do this match justice. We just have to say watch it. Like, yeah. I don't know what else to tell you.
Yeah, you gotta watch it. This is definitely the match of the weekend for me.
Insanity.
I mean,
wasn't there a spot at one point where Jay White caught Will Ospreay doing a dive on the outside, caught him and like threw him into the guard? It was just, they took two dudes that are, and this for me, this is one thing I wanted to say, is vintage ROH, because ROH was built on taking younger guys that are on the verge of, you know, being top guys and saying, we're going to put you two in the ring and just do what you do. You know what I mean? And that's the kind of things they did with Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly before they became a tag team. Like, hey, just get it. And they became the top guys. I mean, we could just keep going down the list. They've always done this thing. I still remember seeing Bryan Danielson at Homicide Live. And that was like, wow, wasn't for a belt or anything. It was just, hey, these are two top guys right now.
Just gonna
go ahead. And they went at it. Mm-hmm. I still watch that match to this day. But this match definitely, I gotta kind of give it match of the night. It's hard on a show that was this good, but this was so good.
But it was.
And the way they ended it.
This was a match. Outside of the match before, to me, this was the match that actually stood out the most.
Yeah.
Because that tag match was fucking insane. And no titles was on the line in that one.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It was a non-title match.
Yeah. It's crazy that the non-title matches actually outshined the title matches on here.
Yeah. Speaking of which, next up we had a match for the ROH World Six-Man Tag Team Championships. Bully Ray and the Briscoes defending against Chaos members Beretta, Hiroki Goto, and Rocky Romero. I was afraid Goto would not fit in this match, and I was totally wrong. No. I know you love your Roppongi Vice. Roppongi Vice.
Roppongi Lights.
So, just to add a little tidbit, Bully Ray gets nostalgic, is standing in the stands, in the bleacher area, I guess you would say, and says, you know where we're at. This is no disqualification. And it lived up to the hype for me because these guys were nuts. Trent Beretta does not get enough love,
no,
dog.
He doesn't.
This dude is so dope.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, my God. And he takes all the crazy bumps.
Yeah. And it's crazy that, once again, that was a
WWE product. He dropped the ball, man. He dropped the ball with him.
Trent Beretta. Goto. I almost messed his name up. But anyway, this dude, too, just how strong he is. Like, I mean,
did you know he started as a cruiser? He was a junior heavyweight, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Because the way he picked up Bully Ray and just
and held him for a minute and then suplexed him, I was like, all right, my bad.
Like, this dude is just super strong. And it was, I think it was the way he picked him up that made you, it was Cesaro-esque.
Yeah.
You know how Cesaro just kind of picked people up and just
flings you around?
You just couldn't believe how strong this dude really was. And the chops. I mean, Bully Ray was smacking everybody. I mean, this match was good. It was enjoyable, too. Yeah. I was about to call him Jay. Mark Briscoe, dude. This dude is fucking nuts. And he took all the head shots. I mean, all the
head
shots.
And I'm not a big fan of chair shots to the head. I was like, oh, God. But, I mean.
And it, you know, it's amazing at the age that they are now. They probably would never, ever leave ROH to go to WWE. The fact that how they can still move around in the ring and all
they take care of themselves.
And all the bumps that they can take and all the high flying. Well, Mark Briscoe is more of the high flying and stuff. High flying moves that he can do.
I think it goes back to like what you said, though. It's the schedule. They're not out there, you know, they're able to deliver the product the way they are because of the schedule that they have. Mm-hmm. And so they can wrestle, you know, safely, but still, or like, what does Tommaso Ciampa always say? He says, I wrestle with intent to hurt, not to injure.
Yeah.
That's really what they do. Mm-hmm. Make it believable.
Yeah. Who was it that said that they think that that AJ Styles' music was actually supposed to be made for them?
For the Briscoes? If you listen to it, I feel like it was, too. Now thinking about it.
No. And here's the reason why I don't think so. Because they're not from the South.
True. That doesn't mean that WWE wouldn't have made them from the South. Let's be 100.
That's some shit that would have pissed me off.
Yeah, it would have been weird. Like, come on. They're from Sandy Fork, even though it can get a little rural up there, if you know what I'm talking about. But moving on. Yeah. Next title match, ROH World Television Championship defended by Marty Scurll. He successfully defended it against Matt Sydal, who, like I said, is on his way out of the company. It was a decent match. It wasn't anything blow away.
No, it wasn't, but how the fuck did he make it sound like that he snapped his finger?
I don't know how he's figured this out yet, so I'm just going to say he's snapping their fingers for real, because I don't get how he makes that sound or what he does. Yeah. But I love it. Like, there was a lot of good spots in this match. Matt Sydal looked so good. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I love. It was a good back-and-forth match. But in the end, the way that Marty hit the chicken wing on him, or got him in the chicken wing, was dope. And I like the delayed tap out. Did you notice that he hit him with the Kudo driver?
Yeah, I didn't
know. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, you can't. Oh.
I mean, and some of the reversals in this match, it was a lot of reverses going on in this match, and they were just good, too.
The way they gelled was crazy, because I don't think they faced each other that many times. But definitely that Kudo driver, I was like, okay, so is Matt Sydal about to win, dude? Because who kicks out of a freaking, he dropped him nice, too.
Yeah.
And, whatever, man. ROH sometimes baffles me. Not in a bad way. Mm. I'm just like, holy crap.
You know the thing about Marty Scurll, too? Is that he has when he smiles, he has the look
of just an evil motherfucker. Just a little bastard.
Yeah.
Conniving. Makes you want to punch him. I do. I really feel like that sometimes. All right. So, Marty Scurll. We'll talk more about him as we go on. All right. So, next up, we had the Young Bucks defending the ROH World Tag Team Championships against LIJ members Bushi and Tetsuya Naito. And your winners in this match were the Young Bucks.
Oh, I do take this back. This was one of the championship matches that it was insane.
Mm-hmm.
This match was good as shit. Yeah. It was from start to finish.
From the start to finish. And I was thinking for a minute that Naito and Bushi might win. I was like, well, wait, hold on. But the match was bananas. I mean, the back and forth between them.
Once again, they spit.
Spitting again.
He's spitting in Matt Jackson's face.
Yeah. I loved the whole super kick spot where Bushi did the poison mist and Matt just super kicked everybody, including Nick. And then when he cleared off his face, he was like, what?
Awesome stuff. That was a crazy spot. I
love that spot because it was hilarious and dope at the same time. But in the end, the Young Bucks came out on top. Young Bucks are they're just different, man.
Yeah.
Like, I know that some people say it's repetitive, it's the same thing over and over again, but I don't feel that way when I watch their matches. I feel like when I watch their matches, I'm getting something different most of the time, except for the stuff I don't want to be different. Like, I want super kick parties. I want them to do Meltzer drivers. Other than that, they always tell an intricate story to me.
Here's the thing, though. When people complain about that, like, why? They do a lot in the ring. I mean, I'm talking about diving over the top rope, diving through the rope, super kicks, hurricanranas, the tombstone power driver where he comes and flips over the mat too, and I mean just everything that they do is you'd be lucky to get one or two of those spots in a WWE match.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even name off all the spots that they actually pulled off in this match. I'm just talking about some of the spots that they normally would probably put off in every match.
Mm-hmm.
And they pulled off even more spots than that.
Yeah.
It's just, to me, it's never repetitive when you constantly.
Like, I think the thing that gets. On. Right. But the thing that gets overlooked, too, is the consistency of the Young Bucks. When's the last time you seen a really bad Young Bucks match?
No, you haven't.
Because they come out and they bust their ass as much as they work.
And they say, we the best at what we do.
Yeah, I'd be hard-pressed to say they're not. All right. Next up we had Hiroshi Tanahashi defeating Adam Cole, the franchise player. Adam Cole, baby! Who we'll see on Saturday in the crowd, I promise you that. So, I'm just going to start. This was actually a match that Adam Cole has said was a dream match. It's on his list of dream matches. For those that don't know, Tanahashi in Japan is basically the equivalent of John Cena.
Yeah.
Except he's super dope. Not that John Cena's not, just John Cena doesn't want to wrestle. So, that being said, Tanahashi goes out there and busts his ass even when he's hurt. This match for me was super, super dope. Just for nostalgic reasons and knowing that Adam Cole's on his way out. I thought for a minute, again, Adam Cole was about to win. I was like, are they going to have him win this match? But Tanahashi came out on top. I don't think that was politics. I just think, like you say, you go out on your back. And that was, you know, he got his match that he wanted. But the highlight of this match, well, how did you feel about the match overall? Let me ask that first.
The match was, I think they played it safe. It's just a shame that this was the match that he had to go to go out. I think they played it pretty safe because he more than likely will be at NXT this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows in what kind of capacity. I almost wonder if he's actually going to be fighting against somebody or come out and attack somebody. Because I felt like in this match, they did a lot of showboating against at one another to kind of be safe.
So that nobody gets hurt.
So nobody gets hurt. So I almost wonder if he's going to attack somebody this Saturday.
I would go.
Yeah.
I definitely mark out for that if, like, Bobby Roode wins and the lights go out and Adam Cole, baby. Like, that'd be nuts.
Yeah.
Then Chicago could be an Adam Cole town. Yeah.
But
all in all,
Marty Scurll.
Here we go. So, spoiler alert. So, in the end of the match, Adam Cole, obviously, crowds chanting for him. Young Bucks come out, give him a hug. Mm-hmm. You know, you think it's going to be one of those happy moments, but I had a feeling, because whenever we're in the Hammerstein Ballroom, it's some craziness. The lights go out, Kenny Omega's on the screen, talks about how he's disappointed that they're hugging Adam Cole after he tried to fire them, which he did, and goes on to say that every story has to end with a villain. And he introduces Marty Scurll as the newest member of the Bullet Club. And they go on to attack Adam Cole in dope fashion to me because Marty Scurll shows up in the ring, has the umbrella that shows Bullet Club, super kicks, and there goes Adam Cole. He's out. And much like they've been doing, it's a trend, and I love how they keep this going. It happened to AJ. It happened to Finn. This is how you go out.
Mm-hmm.
On your back.
Yep.
You're not leaving on your own. We're kicking you out.
Right.
That's how this works. How did you feel when you watched that?
Dude, first off, I was like, this is nuts. Like, why do y'all have to do the man like that? I mean, he hit him with the umbrella. He
cracked him, Joe. I was like, damn.
Like, why'd you have to do that? Then they sitting there giving him a kiss while what's his name standing over him with the umbrella, with the Bullet Club umbrella. I was just like, this is how you want to go out. This is how you want to leave. And when you making that next step and everything, hopefully WWE treats him right and does the right thing with him, because you got gold with Adam Cole, baby.
That's right.
Hopefully they don't make him change his name.
Enough. Oh, no. I hope not. Like, what are they going to call him?
Yeah. But they may not.
Cole Adams, baby!
They may not, though, because they didn't do it with Bobby Roode.
I think when you have a set, it's hard. When you have a set persona, because I think they should have just left Tommy as Kenta. I don't think they should have ever changed that. Yeah. I think there's just some people who have a mystique behind them, their names that you shouldn't mess
with. Finn Balor, I didn't mind. Because I think his name is kind of dope.
Yeah.
But...
And I think he wanted to change it from Prince David, so, all right. It could have been Fergal. He could have gone by his real Fergal Diva, but that's
you don't want to do that.
Fergie.
I'm not even scared of that person.
I like Finn. All right, and then we go into our main event. Christopher Daniels defeated Cody Rhodes and Jay Lethal, successfully defending his ROH World Championship. And I will say right now, this match was way better than I expected, because this was not a match I was looking forward to. I'm not going to lie to you.
Really?
I'm not a big fan of triple threat matches, only because I hate the one fall to a finish. I like elimination matches.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But
yeah.
I will say that they all surprised me, and they all went hard. Not that they wouldn't have. I wasn't sure how it would mesh. It worked so well. And man, it was a really good match.
When Cody Rhodes hit that
crossroads
on Jay Lethal, I said, damn, I mean, how is Jay Lethal's head still attached to his head? I mean, neck.
It looked nasty.
I mean, he just twisted him. I didn't understand how his head was still attached. But this match was actually pretty good. Like the story behind it, the whole, you know, the story in the match. With Jay Lethal actually earning that spot. Kind of knew Jay Lethal wouldn't win just because of he's gonna be a part of that
The U.S. tournament, the IWGP U.S. tournament.
Right.
He might win.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Cody.
That'd be dope if Cody wins. But, because who is it that's coming after Jay Lethal?
Silas Young?
No.
Oh, that's what?
I think they in the Bullet Club. They was mad that they didn't get... They're not a part of it.
Cody Rhodes? Hangman Page.
It might have been Hangman Page. I think he was the one that was mad that he wasn't part of it. I gotta go back and watch it and stuff. I think he was mad that he wasn't a part of the United States tournament and stuff. So, but anyway, once again, that belt was dope. If you haven't seen that belt,
look it up. IWGP US Championship.
Yeah, is what the United States Championship should look like in WWE. But anyway, this match was actually good. Cody Rhodes surprised me by being able to hang in there with him, because we know he can wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
We know he has the persona and everything. It's just about when you get in there with these indie wrestlers, can you go with them and stuff? Because that is the one flaw.
Can you translate? Can you transition over?
Right. And he did. Jay Lethal, good as always. Probably... by far, my favorite wrestler right now. Remember, I told you he deserved that award last year.
Mm-hmm.
Was it last year?
Yeah,
Wrestler of the Year last year. That probably should go to AJ Styles this year.
Mm-hmm.
No, hold on. How does it work? Does it go? I think he was killing everything in 2015. AJ Styles was doing everything in 2016. So, yeah. So, in that 2015 year,
Well, let's wait and see what Kenny Omega and Okada do. Because Kenny Omega might be my pick for Wrestler of the Year this year. Depending on what they do.
Yeah. But to me, but in recent years, although AJ Styles deserved it last year, Jay Lethal had by far...
the best championship run.
Championship run. Storyline, everything that went with it. And since probably the Summer of Punk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how good this dude was in 2015 and stuff. Before he got the, you know, and then he ended up running to Adam Cole, baby. The rest was history. But Jay Lethal.
So what? Oh, my bad.
By far the best first generation wrestler of all time.
So what's your grade for the show, sir?
I mean, it's easily an A. I mean, because here's the thing that we always critique WWE on. Storylines.
Mm-hmm.
I think every storyline was good. Every storyline fit. Every storyline made sense. Maybe this is the flaw with WWE, like we said, where they're constantly wrestling. You got a show every week, and then sometimes storylines just don't mesh, don't fit, don't whatever the case may be. And so now we end up having to. So this is my thing. I'm telling you, I'm not trying to be biased. I'm saying this is probably why we're a lot more harsh. I said a lot more harsh. Well, this is the reason why we're more harsh on WWE because
you have the talent to do these type of things. You just choose not to.
Not even that you choose not to. Maybe for whatever reason, you just can't be consistent with the storyline and making it make sense. Because it's too hard because you got a show every week and you got to constantly get people engaged and all that stuff. And by the time we finally get to that moment, it's just not there. So that may not be, I mean, I understand the capitalism in you says, well, this is what we have to do. This is how we make our money. This is how we pay the wrestlers that you want to see on TV. So I will let WWE slide with that for now. But the wrestling in all of these matches, and we're talking about dudes that are big, that are small, that are middle, in between them, or whatever you want to say, everybody able to go in the ring and stuff. So it was just, the wrestling was there. So overall, I mean, if you want me to knock it down, the production.
No, I mean, I'm just saying.
Like,
I just was surprised. I was like, damn, he went off top. Because I think in comparison, if I compare it to other ROH shows that I've given an A, I have to give it a B just for consistency. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that the show wasn't great. It's just there have been other shows that ROH has had that I've been blown away, and this show blew me away at points, but not from start to finish. And War of the Worlds isn't like their biggest show. Best in the world is going to be the big show,
which is June 13th
or something like that. Yeah, I believe.
I think June 13th.
That's the show. That's the pay per view I'm looking forward to because that's where the shit hits the fan for real, and people go hard because it's our SummerSlam. Mm.
Yep.
War of the Worlds.
Anyway, that'll do it. Sorry we didn't do the NXT. Predictions, but okay. Whatever. Maybe we'll talk about it.
We'll do a whole podcast for them. How about we just do a podcast on NXT? We'll just do a separate podcast because we'll be there live. We'll have the live experience.
We will.
So we'll be able to tell them how we felt live when Adam Cole came out and beat up Bobby Roode. I'm calling it now,
baby. Anyway, that'll do it for this week's the Raw, the Bad, the Ugly, plus our predictions. And everything, you can check us out on 1515 Avenue and all of the content. You can check out 1515 Avenue and all of the content, such as the MWT, Equal Opposites, Hip Love and Hip Hop, The Rundown, Mac and D, Studio Flow, the GTS, and of course the RBU podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. Type in 1515 Avenue and all those. Podcast should pop up, or if you're just looking for ours, you can just type in wrestling RASSLIN roundtable and you'll find the GTS and the RBU podcast. Also, be sure to click on the Amazon banner, go support the site when you go in there and purchase something. Now that Mother's Day is over, you got Father's Day coming up, go ahead and treat those dads with the perfect gift that they deserve for taking care of your badass or holding down the secrets that he wouldn't tell your moms and shit. Just you gotta hook them up, whatever. Anyway, with that said, it's me, Stir the Pearl.
It's Miller,
and we out.